times when I was in Texas, I thought about taking my life because I was struggling with the mental illness down there of just being there and being isolated and having none of my stuff. Like, I'm like, what else do I literally have to lose? What does it matter if I'm not here anymore?
Well, what, the mental illness is not you. The mental illness came upon, yeah, it's a situational mental illness. And that's what, and it's not really, and it's still not you.
I don't feel, I mean, sad other than emotional, I mean, just being emotional sometimes, but I don't feel sad like I did. Like, I was so happy before Robert called today, or before I called Robert today, and then I'm like, why did I even, like, do that? Like, I was trying to be nice, and that's the thing, like, I keep trying to be so nice and cater to people, and it's like, every time it just screws me over. But that's the kind of world that I want to live in. That's the kind of world that I want to raise my daughter in.
It's just to be nice and trust.
To love people. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that, and that's so unfortunate for everyone.
It is. It's too bad that we have to live that way at the present time. But I believe that what's coming ahead of us is that, I mean, God's promises are in there. God's promises say that we need to keep doing good and the evil will fall away from us. You know, it just falls away. So we, one day we're going to be in that situation where we can just trust. But for right now,
but when, because it's like this, like the everything that's happening in the world right now, it's like it makes it so you can't trust anyone. Like, you can't even trust like the people who are supposed to spread news, who are supposed to spread the news about, I mean, all factual. You can't even trust them anymore.
Right.
You can't trust your friends, you can't trust your spouses, you can't trust
anything. So what if I told you it was, I mean, nobody knows the exact time, but what if I told you it was 3 more years that we have to live apart? And imagine by the time you're 24, you'll never have to think about any of this again. Everything is going to be good in your life. Everything in my life and everybody's life that we're connected to.
But how much worse does it get?
It could get a whole lot worse.
Because, I mean, like, just even in the Bible, even what the Bible, you know, is telling us that's going to happen, that things are going to get bad, you know? And it's like, why? Like, I just...
Because it's basically, you know, I keep talking about the pimple that's ready to pop. So, it's... Or the volcano that's ready to blow. It's basically an emotional volcano that is happening right now. It's already started with people, and imagine when it hits the masses. I mean, if it's only hit a couple hundred thousand people, what we're doing and what we're talking about and being ahead of the game, imagine what's going to happen in the next year where people are just going to be breaking down. There's so many people that are so confused right now. I feel like we're way ahead, including in real estate, okay? What's happening right now with the lenders and the title companies and other realtors, even in Sioux Falls, is that there's so many people that are so confused. And just think about, I already went through this 3 years ago. So think about how far ahead of the game I am. And how I've got a solid foundation because...
What do you mean confused? What are they confused about?
Well, they're screwing up on transactions right and left. It's ridiculous. It's so insane. The title companies are not communicating, not mm-hmm. doing what they're supposed to. They're ordering things late. They're not setting dates. Same with lenders. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. I've never seen this kind of thing before. And it's not just because, yes, they're busy because the interest rates are low, so they've got a ton of refinances. Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely insane with, they can't get stuff right. So here they are pulling together loopholes, doing what they're not supposed to do just to get the deal done because they've screwed up. So they admit it and then they take the blame for it. So the title companies, two of my recent closings are that they didn't get paperwork, the physical copy of the paperwork in their hand until the day after closing. They never would close on a property. We would have to extend the day, always. But because the title company admitted the fault, they still closed on it.
They're only admitting fault because you're calling them out?
Calling them out. Otherwise, I could admit blame, but it wasn't my fault on stuff. So why do you admit blame for stuff that's not your fault? You just say, will you accept this? Mm-hmm. And then they say, yes, we will, because it was their fault. And then you just move forward and let them worry about it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, but what you're talking about is love and trust right now. And what comes with it is you need to be healed as well in order to get the love that you want, right? And so that's actually what I'm working on right here. That's what I'm writing on my paper. So this is how I want to help people right here. And it's a lot of work, but I know this stuff from experience. So it's like, this is the reason why I was brought through the destructive patterns that I was brought through in order to get out of them, in order to heal, in order to help more people. So it's not just you. This is a big thing, and I know I'm supposed to be here, and I know I'm supposed to use my experience and basically flow outward into the world. So you
can I don't want to like play the victim in anything. I don't want to even like be a victim, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you know the root word of victim? It's the same root word as victor.
Yeah, I know. I know you talk about that, but like sometimes it's like when people.
It's just what our mind does. So
yeah, but don't you think for a while, like, you know, when you were going through the divorce and stuff, and like even afterwards with your harassment, like now you are a victor because you have processed it. But don't you think for a while you were playing a victim of it all?
I was trying to figure out what was happening. So yeah, sometimes I would cry. Does that mean I'm...
No, just the way that you would talk about it, and like even to us kids, like when we were growing up, like even now, like I have no idea who it was. I have no idea what it was. I have no idea what they said, you know? So it's like, but like when I was 14, 15 years old and you're telling me about it, and you were very accusing of it when we were growing up. And so, like, I know that obviously some part of it stemmed from, you know, Dad probably, but it was like, we didn't have control over that. We didn't. So it was like, sometimes.
We fought because of it.
Yeah.
We fought because of.
But it was because it was like, I couldn't even defend myself because I'm like trying to, I don't know. I felt like you needed a physical person to blame, and because you didn't have Dad right there to blame, then it was me that kind of fell back on, because I didn't want you...
You stood up for Dad.
I didn't want you, because I just didn't think that it was fair for you to be talking bad about him in front of us, you know?
And I didn't talk bad about him, I just said...
I mean, I know that there was a lot of emotions involved, you know, and
yeah.
I just hope that I even learn from some of your mistakes too, you know. As angry as I get at Robert, I don't want Cora to know, I guess, what goes on, because for me, it was really hard growing up with that. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Because it was like I couldn't control anything, and I was trying to do the best that I could in school and sports, and that's all that I should have had to worry about at the time. Which I did amazing at both, you know? So it was like, and I always just felt like because there was other things going on, you know, like my accomplishments and my achievements just kind of got pushed up the rug. I never felt appreciated for my straight A's that I brought home literally every single semester.
And I never felt appreciated either because I was always being knocked down.
Yeah.
Knocked down through the harassment, and I knew exactly where the root source was.
Yeah.
But you defended Dad, which, I mean, I'm not saying that was right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what happened.
And I wasn't, like, defending his, what was going on. I did, like, that was completely separated from me, you know? Like,
he would tell you that it wasn't him. And then you would say, no, it's not Dad. So you would stand up for him and say, no, it's not him. And I'm like, yes, it was. And that was the argument right there. That was the basic argument. The basis of every argument I think we ever had was that you denied it, and I knew where it was coming from. There's no other place that it could have even possibly, not even 1% could have come from. Because I saw the patterns. I saw when the harassment would happen. I saw...
I guess I just would have...
The consistency.
Like I said, I was only 14, 15 years old, so at the time, I wish you would have just said, okay, and just, I mean, I know, you know, I wish that you would have had maybe better friends at the time, or a counselor, or someone to talk to about it, you know, instead of us as kids, because I didn't like hearing every so often, you know, I got another email today. Because
I know.
No one knows what to say when you say that, you know. But, I mean, it's not like you knew. And it's
not like, I mean, the only things I would say is just that. I got another email today because I didn't want to tell about details. And I wanted to, you guys would see me cry and you would wonder why. And that was the hardest part. I mean, how am I supposed to go talk to a... And I did finally go talk to a counselor. But it's like the counselor, the only thing that she basically told me is, I've never seen anything like this happen for so long. So then I was like, okay, well, great. You want to be a prodigy of this? You know, you want to be... You want to one-up somebody on this? I don't want to be in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted it from the first place. That's why I just tried to ignore and live my own life and just tried to consume our lives with joy. And I just kept getting knocked down every single time. And that's
what's sad, too, is because, like, you and I, like, obviously that put a huge...
And that's
rift in our relationship, and what's sad is, like,
and that's the,
like,
reason
when I would talk to, like, even Robert about you and I, you know, it's like, he's like, what happened? Because all I would talk about is, yeah, my mom used to take me to softball tournaments and we used to go snowboarding all the time. So it's just hard because, like, that's not even what I was thinking about all the time. I feel like you thought that, like, consumed everybody's lives, and that's not what I remembered growing up. But that's what hurt us, you know? And that's what's sad, because I'm like, everyone would ask, why don't you talk to your mom? And I'm like, I don't even know anymore. Like, I can't even tell you why. But I knew that it just came with a lot of drama. And so that's why, like... When I was pregnant, and I had Cora, and I was scared of any drama that came along with just everything, and so I just avoided it. And I'm still doing it, you know? I'm still avoiding drama because now I'm not talking to Dad, I'm not talking to Bridget, I'm not talking to Grandma and Grandpa. And it's like, that hurts me so bad. I've pushed away every friend that I've had, and I know that a lot of that is because of Robert. the only person I wasn't talking to before Robert was you. And now, like, after him, I'm not talking to anyone. Haley would call Dad and ask if I was even alive because Robert made me push everyone away. He made everyone disappointed in me. And it's like I'm disappointed in myself for, like, my actions.
It's the same pattern. It's the same pattern I have. Do you see that? With JR, too. The reason I was with JR is because I didn't think I could handle life on my own, because look at how emotional I was over the harassment. I would get so sad, so it's like I wanted a shoulder to cry on, kind of. Because I didn't want to do that to my kids. And it's kind of like, you can't just schedule a counseling appointment every time you get a harassment. Mm-hmm. Because you have to have them scheduled in it like 2 weeks in advance. So how do you know when you're going to get them, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's why I started dating JR. And then with JR, it was a destruction. Nobody wanted to be my friend anymore either. Because they saw the chaos that it came with it. And that wasn't me.
And it's like, for me, I could have friends if I chose to have friends, but I literally just pushed everyone away, and I, like, not even knowing. Like, just completely stopped responding to people, like, Miranda and I were so close before I got pregnant. She was the first person that I told that I was pregnant. She came to doctor's appointments with me because Robert wasn't here. And then after Cora was born, she just, like, everyone asked to see Cora. Like, Haley, Paige, Hannah, like, they all asked me. They all came to me and asked, hey, can we go out to lunch or something? We want to meet Cora. And Miranda just never asked, so I never like reached out to her and said, hey, do you want to meet my daughter? Like, that's,
because it's kind of a strange, it's a different age. So at 18 yeah. years old, what
and
people
that's
are
hard
expected
is that everyone's off at school, like, right now. And you know, like, I one of the biggest things though that drove me to, like, get out of Sioux Falls, even if it was to Texas, even if it was to like a bad place, was that in high school, when people found out that I was pregnant, I literally had two people talking behind, or like a group of people talking behind my back. I'm sitting here reading a book in class and they're all talking about me, and I can hear them. She's never gonna go anywhere. She's never gonna do anything in her life because she's pregnant. She's never gonna get out of here. She's never gonna. And those words. And it was from a kid that I don't even, like, I couldn't even stand him. But it's like, so, like, even. And even when I'm in Texas, I'm, like, thinking, like, at least I am someplace else. Like, at least I, like, you know.
I understand that, yeah.
But it's like, it's completely.
But that situation wasn't better for you.
Yeah. But then back in September, I'm, like, thinking, like, screw that. Like, Sioux Falls is a great place to live. Sioux Falls is a great place to be and to make money. And so, like, I think that I'm hesitant on starting my real estate stuff right now, because I know that, like, my goals in it, it's a hard pill to swallow. It's a lot. It's kind of overwhelming.
Well, what if you weren't a realtor? And what if you were an assistant?
That's just not enough for me, though. And that's the thing, is that, like, I...
Well...
My goals are a lot. And so, like...
What about... I mean, because realistically, being an assistant means that you can have Cora with you all of the time, whenever you need to, you know? Being an assistant means that most of the time you can work from home. And I know that you want to socialize. I know. And I'm giving you the opportunity.
I'm not worried about that. though. That's like waste. I mean,
especially during 2020.
I don't even know how to be a friend anymore right now. Like, I don't even.
Yeah, because you need to be a friend to yourself.
I don't respond to people anyways. Like, that's the thing. That's how I've lost my friends, is because I literally don't respond to their messages and Snapchats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just have no desire to. Like, just leave me alone.
Yeah, but,
you're not, like, that's the thing that I was saying before. Like, if you're not benefiting me by being my friend, like, I'm not benefiting from this relationship, so it's... If you're not living, you're dying. If you're not benefiting from something, then you have to be deteriorating. Yeah, well, I don't know.
It's either a consumer or a user, right? So, they're either consuming you...
And even if it's not, like... I mean, like, with me and Haley, like, it wasn't that, like, we were consuming anything. Like, we just... I don't know. I just... I guess I don't want to have to explain again to everyone. And I think that that's why I've been avoiding Dad right now and Bridget right now and everyone. Because I don't want to have to explain it all again. Like, yeah, I'm stupid. I went back to Texas. No, but like, here's I got the thing. Manipulated. Like, what do you want here's me to... The
Your past? There's nothing you can do to change your past.
Yeah.
So starting with today... And what you're doing today, I'm proud of you for what you're doing today. You're a great mom. You're a fantastic mom. My gosh, do you think Coral would be as smart as she is if it wasn't for you and what you've shown her? And by you giving her your time, that time is, T-I-M-E is how you spell love. So I can tell how much you love her and how much she loves you, okay? So, but... Being a friend to anybody else is not important right now. What's important is being a friend to yourself. So you have to determine how to be a friend to yourself. You know, what kind of things can you do for yourself that are being a friend to yourself? You do going and working out, you're eating healthy, you're allowing yourself to have your time, and even just sitting and talking and crying. That's what you need to be a friend to yourself. Mm-hmm. Going outside, getting fresh air, that's a friend to yourself. You didn't get much of that down in Texas. And the weather was nice, so it's not just about having nice weather, right?
I know, but it's like, what do I do? Walk around the apartment complex? Like,
yeah, I know, right?
Even then,
I'm pretty sure everybody in the apartment complex is probably, you know, Mrs. Cora, because she's and you, but glad you're gone because...
Nobody even knew we were there, and the only people that knew we were there hated us because Robert was always so loud.
I thought there was a neighbor that liked Cora that came around or something. Oh, you talked about somebody that came by. I was on the phone with you one day and you said that it was like a neighbor or something that came. I thought it was a neighbor. Maybe not. You'll think of who it was.
Yeah, nobody in the apartment complex. Because the people downstairs hated us because we were too loud.
Yeah. Because of fighting?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And the fighting is not what Cora needed to hear, huh? That I think that's why she's having her bowel movements the way she is right now. I really do.
Well, because it's not healthy to see, like, even just what I was going through. It wasn't healthy for me to be going through it, and then for her to even be seeing it is not good either. Yeah. When I'm literally locking myself in the bathroom because and just crying on the bathroom floor, like...
Because it was unsafe and unhealthy for you. Well, I'm proud of you for doing everything that you did, every single step of the way to get yourself out of the situation, okay?
Yeah. And what I mean by my real estate goal, like, it's overwhelming because it's like I told Darian last night on our way home, like, Robert always made me feel bad about wanting to be rich. I want to be rich. I want to drive nice cars. I want to have a nice house. Like, I want those things. But, like, I'm going to work for them, obviously, you know? And I know what it takes. And I know, you know? But, like, Robert always made me feel bad about wanting those things. And I go, don't ever let a man make you feel bad about wanting nice things or to be rich. Because if you know that you can get those things yourself, then he shouldn't make you feel bad about wanting them. And obviously, like, if you don't... Obviously, that means you don't have the same goals if...
He's having a war inside of his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's basically what this World War III is a psychological warfare.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a war inside of his own mind, because if he's making you feel bad about it, but he wants the same thing.
I mean, he told me he did, but then whenever I... Like, right now, like, he said that he ran into, like, $6,000, that he has $6,000 just, I don't know, or whatever. Why don't you go and buy that property that we had been talking about for months and months about buying? Why don't you go and pay off the tax liens and get that done? I thought that that was our thing, that that was what you were going to do. I thought that the whole point.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't want to take the steps, and I can't wait on him to take the steps anymore. I need to take my own steps. I don't even want to be with him anymore.
Right, because trusting him is what has failed you every single time.
Yeah, because like I said, I was always, like I told him, I go, I'm always waiting on you. When I was pregnant, or after I had Cora, I was going to start going to school. I was going to go and, I was gonna make it work to go to Watertown, do all of my online schooling to become a dental assistant, and then once a month or something, I would have to drive to Watertown and go do like a day in class or whatever, maybe once a week or something for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks. So I found this program, like I was filling out like student loan applications, I was gonna start it and everything, and then he told me, wait. Just wait. And so I'm always waiting for him. I'm always waiting for him to do something, and then he never does. And, like, even now, like, I just allowed him basically another 3 months to show me something, to get something done, to start our lives.
And it's like he went backwards.
He downsized his apartment.
And it wasn't even his apartment to begin with. And the second one isn't even his either, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Well, I think they're co-signing.
Okay.
But yeah. Hi, baby.